Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Ivan Strick-Werda as my special expert guest. Ivan is the president of INBA Canada and is a leader in growing the sport of natural bodybuilding. He is a focused and disciplined natural bodybuilder and is one of Canada's best. Ivan is a certified strength and conditioning specialist with the National Strength and Conditioning Association and also a national corporate business manager who obtained his Bachelor of Commerce degree from the University of Alberta in 1995. Good morning, Ivan, and thanks for taking the time to participate as my guest on this edition of SNU.
Good morning, Corey. My pleasure.
Ivan, let's get right into it, the thick of things, so to speak. About your own personal involvement in bodybuilding, going back in time, how did you first develop an interest in bodybuilding?
Well, that's a great question, Corey. I'm 34 years old now, and I initially started working out with weights when I was 14, skinny, small child at the time. And
I can't imagine you being skinny and small.
Skinny and small, and enviously looking at the time through the magazines and seeing the bodybuilders and having a keen interest in getting involved with weightlifting. And at the time, I had got an old York barbell set from my uncle and worked out in the basement, and that was the start of my, at the time it would have just been working out with weights, and that gradually evolved over the years to going out into the public gyms and then seeing people involved in bodybuilding, which was always of interest to me, but I never had found a venue that was something that I could identify with in terms of the way the competitions were run. And then in, what would it be, 1998, I found a competition that was a natural competition run out of BC, and I had done that competition as my first bodybuilding competition. After training all that time, it took me that much time to finally step on the stage. It takes, you know, it takes a lot to make that decision to actually go out and finally step on the stage and try bodybuilding. But following from that, it opened up many doors for me with the potential for the sport. And following from that competition, I had competed in a competition a couple years later with my wife, Karen Matura, and that went very well. And then we proceeded to be involved with bodybuilding in subsequent years. And in 2003, we competed in a bodybuilding competition with Denny Kakos, the president, world president of the International Natural Bodybuilding Association, and that was in Eastern Canada. We really identified, Corey, with the kind of person that Denny was, and we believe that he had the right philosophy as to why he was doing what he was doing. And we felt that we could take that further here in Canada by applying our own personal touch to it, creating something that we didn't see was there for us as bodybuilders. We were a little disappointed with the different opportunities as far as what we wanted to see when we were competing. So what we've done now with INBA Canada is create an organization that's reflective of what we would want bodybuilders or people who haven't before bodybuilded and are considering getting into it to experience.
So let's get into the mainstream mind. They've seen bodybuilding. People have a concept or an idea of what it means to them. What exactly does natural bodybuilding mean?
Okay. I won't speak with regards to comparing to what other organizations are doing. I'll compare simply to what we are doing and explain what natural bodybuilding means to INBA Canada. Natural bodybuilding is a lifestyle. It's something that you do every day. It's not something that you just step on the stage and you're a natural bodybuilder. It means that you care about your health, you care about your body, you exercise regularly, you eat well, you try and get the sleep you can, and I know that's difficult and with today's busy schedules that everyone has. In that respect, it encompasses everything that a person does. It's more than just the sport itself. It truly is. And that, Corey, to put another point in, is something that we're trying to get out to the public, to get them to see and understand that this is something that virtually anybody who enjoys working out with weights and exercising and being fit and healthy can potentially get involved in.
So if we look at competitive bodybuilders as they have evolved over time, say in the IFBB, the Mr. Olympia, we wouldn't necessarily state that those bodybuilders on stage are natural. So isn't there something about what it is that they're ingesting? Isn't that also something that separates the so-called mainstream bodybuilder from the natural bodybuilder?
Thank you, Corey. That's an important, a very important aspect and a fundamental basis for creating IMBA Canada, and that's the natural aspect as it relates to drug use in sport. And what we advocate is the use of proper training regimen, proper supplementation, and healthy eating habits, rather than the use of banned substances, which anabolic steroids, falling into that group, have harmful effects on people's health. And we see that to a great extent with the youth. They see pictures of bodies that they want to look like, and they want to get there fast, and they're using these substances to get there. Also, there's people who don't know there's alternatives if they want to get into bodybuilding, that they don't have to take a route where they're using substances which could be potentially harmful to them. They can do it naturally and look great, as you can see from the athletes that we have competing with IMBA Canada, Corey.
So natural bodybuilding is really a noble, an honorable venture where the concern of health is second to none. And one would not incorporate any substances that might harm the body, because the logic of that is that you lose your health in the process. And so natural bodybuilders think, well, health is number one. The way I look and feel is important, but not more important than my health. Is that right?
Absolutely. I like the idea of noble, Corey. Thank you very much.
So INBA is an acronym for International Natural Bodybuilding Association. Tell us something about the history of the INBA. I understand that this is the original Natural Bodybuilding Association.
Denny Kakos, our world president, out of California, initially ran his first bodybuilding competition out of a gym that he had at the time in 1977. And out of that, he began to see that there was a real need for competitions for natural bodybuilders, people who were concerned about their health and didn't want to be polluting their bodies with substances which were harmful to them. And out of that evolved the INBA, which we have today. And actually, this year we'll be moving into our 8th Natural Olympia, which will be in Las Vegas.
So the INBA is the host of the Natural Mr. Olympia?
Yes, absolutely. We are the only organization in Canada to qualify athletes, and the conduit for athletes to qualify for the Natural Olympia.
Now, everybody knows about steroids and bodybuilding. It's almost synonymous. People associate one with the other almost automatically. And yet natural bodybuilding doesn't, and we set a new standard. So how does the INBA Canada maintain or enforce a drug-free policy? How can we be sure that the athletes coming in are not cheating?
Sure, Corey. The first thing where it starts is with a strong anti-doping policy, which we spent many, many, many hours and weeks creating. And from there and out of that, we outline the process to which we ensure that athletes are natural. We require our open competitors to be natural for a period of 5 years, and we require novice competitors to be natural for a period of 4 years. And natural, meaning that they have not taken in their bodies substances which would appear on the World Anti-Doping List of banned substances. We follow the same substance list that the Olympic athletes would follow. Okay, Corey? And on that list, we have substances which are banned in competition and substances which are banned in and out of competition. The substances banned in and out of competition are banned all the time. You could never take them like an anabolic steroid. And the substances banned in competition would be substances such as ephedrine, which you could have taken when you're not competing, but you don't want to have in your bloodstream when you are competing. Just like marijuana, which now in the Olympics is banned. Well, it's banned in IMBA Canada as well, because we follow the same list. And what we have then is a couple mechanisms to enforce this. We do a polygraph test, which we run on the athletes before they can take membership. In that test, we ask them the primary questions regarding anabolic steroid use, which would be your in and out of competition substances. And we ask them about the 5 years natural, which we couldn't otherwise test on a urine test. 5 years, we can't test back that far. Once they become members, then we test them in competition and between competition. We can test them anytime, any place. We have their addresses and so forth. And what we have then is an independent organization called the Canadian Center for Ethics and Sports. And their doping officers come independently and test our athletes at the competition through urine analysis, and then the samples go down to the World Anti-Doping Laboratory, which is in Montreal. And then on top of that, we have an appeals mechanism for athletes who potentially test positive and they would like to appeal that. We have doctors in place who would look at the information put forth by the athlete, look at the information put forth by the laboratory, and then they'll make a recommendation to us as to how we should apply the disciplinary actions that we have in the Canadian anti-doping policy.
Isn't it also true that you have a mandatory polygraph as an entry-level standard for all members of INBA Canada?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely, Corey. We do that as a requirement before you can take membership. You have to take the polygraph to take membership with INBA Canada. Again, that's where we ask the athletes, have you been 5 years natural? Hard to do that on a urine analysis test. We can't test back that far, so we ask those questions on the polygraph. And the way this works, Corey, is we only have them do the polygraph once. As long as they don't let their membership lapse, they won't have to take the polygraph again. And the reason for that is once they're members, then they fall into the in-competition and between-competition urine analysis testing.
For someone who's never had a polygraph, what is that process like?
You know, the truth is always the same, Corey, they say. So the people, for the most part, who know that they haven't used banned substances don't have a problem with it. However, it is a little bit unnerving the first time around to have on your fingers and around your chest to monitor your heart rate and so forth. And the polygrapher simply asks you questions. For example, have you ever taken anabolic steroids? Have you been free of drugs in your body for a period of 5 years? Questions like that. And we don't ask questions to try and trick the athlete or to confuse them. We ask the questions that are not confusing. For example, have you taken anabolic steroids? People know whether they've done that or not. And those kind of questions shouldn't be disconcerting to people who truly are indeed natural bodybuilders.
Now, bodybuilding means a lot of things to different people. We've heard ideas about body sculpting, body shaping, people trying to get away from that stereotypical phrase, bodybuilding. Now, what about females who are critical or somewhat apprehensive of bodybuilding and weightlifting? How do you respond to a woman who says that bodybuilding will make them look too masculine?
I think that's relatively easy, Corey. The thing that people need to keep in mind is that the distinctive difference between men and women is that men have a hormone called testosterone in their bodies, and that results in a different result from a given amount of resistance training than you would see in a woman. So a woman engaged in resistance training naturally, free of drugs, sure, she gets muscular and strong and fit, but that does not have her then out of that look like a man. She looks like an athletic, healthy female, which is a positive thing.
So this lifestyle called natural bodybuilding, what are some of the primary differences between how you live and, say, some of your colleagues at work that are not involved, not necessarily as competitors, but they don't train in their own mind, they don't see themselves as bodybuilders? What is it that makes you different from them?
The primary difference, Corey, is I'm always cognizant of what I'm putting into my body, for one. I'm aware of contaminants, what I call contaminants in food, additives, colors, that kind of thing. I don't consume that kind of food. My family doesn't consume that kind of food. I consume whole grains, I eat fruits, I eat vegetables, I eat good quality proteins, I eat a balanced diet, even when I travel, which I travel a lot. That's very important to me. And I'm always looking, even when I'm traveling, to regularly maintain my exercise belts. That's very important to me as well. And I think in the professional world, a lot of professional people get so caught up in their work that they let those things fall to the wayside. And ultimately, over your lifetime, those things will catch you in the end, Corey.
What advantage does bodybuilding have over, say, someone that's like yourself, really concerned and, in fact, meticulous about the food quality? They understand what they're eating and why, but they don't weight train. Say they run. Say they ski and winter sports and they get involved in other kinds of activities. Do you think that the bodybuilding aspect in the gym provides an advantage over that model?
Corey, I believe in ultimately people being fit and healthy, and the two work well together as well. Resistance training makes your body stronger. It helps you make up for weak points in your body so that you could potentially engage in other sports as well. So I don't think one precludes the other.
What about the safety of bodybuilding when done correctly? Do you think that it's, in some cases, even safer than some sports?
I think, Corey, to your question, and I'll use myself as an example, I had a knee injury which I took on when I was 16, or actually even 14, when I was playing football, junior football. And it prevented me thereafter from playing sports where I had to do any lateral movement, because I could, again, sustain another injury, and I had my knee operated on 5 times. And not being able to play sports, but being a competitive person, bodybuilding has allowed me the opportunity to be very competitive, be very fit, train hard, and not injure myself. So definitely there is a place for resistance training, and particularly for certain groups, people that may have an injury such as myself, or the aging population. Some of these folks, when you're 60, 65, 70, you may not want to be running anymore, but you can definitely engage in resistance training, and hopefully we could one day see these folks on our stage. We're really encouraging the older population to get involved.
Now, when it comes to being on stage in the actual competition, what elements are the judges looking for in a winning physique?
Okay, Corey, the first thing and the most important thing is body symmetry. We want to see a body that is put together proportionally throughout. So you want to see the upper and lower body, for example, being symmetrically in line with each other. Your bicep and tricep, you want to see them being symmetrical in relation to one another. And following from that, out of symmetry comes muscle size. You can be perfectly symmetrical and perfectly symmetrically slim. However, we want you to be, and we're looking for, symmetrical with muscle size. You have to have muscle there. That's why it's called bodybuilding. And then after that, we look at the overall conditioning of the physique, the leanness of the physique. Can we see the muscle? Can we see the separation between the muscles in the body? And then how you present that physique, your overall package, how you show that off to the judges, how well you pose, and so forth. That's why people who haven't bodybuilded before but have been resistance training for a long time need to realize that it takes some time, even though you may have a great physique, to become a great bodybuilder, because you need to be able to present that physique to the judges. And that takes some practice. There's a lot of skill involved in that process to get those poses just right.
So for a natural bodybuilder that's drug-free, what is the basic scenario when it comes to preparation for a competition? How many months out is this person thinking in terms of actual preparation from the sort of off-season to the in-season competitive schedule? What changes do most people make, and when do they start those changes?
I think, Corey, you've nailed it on the head with off-season and in-season. Essentially, when you're bodybuilding, you're planning out a year in advance about how you're training, you're running your cycle, you're periodizing your training over the year, so you're increasing your strength, and then you're working into your hypertrophy, where you're increasing your volume. And then as you get closer to the competition, around 12 weeks out is when people start looking at really contest dieting and so forth. I usually start that process at about 8 weeks out, because I'm fairly lean throughout the year. And at that point, the competitors will, again, start to increase the volume of their workout, so you can start to burn more calories. And you're going to change the percentages of your macronutrients a little bit in your body to help yourself lean out. We'll increase protein a little bit. There's a bit of an energy toll for digesting proteins. It takes more calories to break them down, and that tends to help bring the body fat down a little bit. However, I'd like to put a caveat on that. With regards to dieting, the objective is to get yourself in contest shape while maintaining a balanced diet throughout. That means that carbohydrates are part of that. You hear often bodybuilders just eating broccoli, and this is anecdotal, things that you may hear in the street, broccoli and tuna fish for 12 weeks. Those kind of things I definitely don't advocate, and that's part of the reason why we're here, IMBA Canada, to educate people that is not the way that you get yourself in great shape. We look at consuming the amount of carbohydrate that you need to get the energy you require to train hard, to get the muscle you need to show on stage. And carbohydrate is the fuel that we use to do that. Without carbohydrate, there's no juice there. The muscle is preserved by protein. The energy comes from the carbohydrate. So that is definitely something that I advocate to people, that they need to look at optimizing by increasing the protein enough to get the leanness they need, but not forgetting about the carbohydrate. And in carbohydrate, I'm talking about vegetables as well, and fruits as well.
So they say that timing is everything. I guess timing is a crucial factor in the preparation for a competition for a bodybuilder too.
It's paramount, Corey. You need enough time to bring your body fat level down to show the muscle off so that you can do it slowly. You don't want to be losing body fat quickly. When you lose body fat quickly, you lose muscle as well. And that's important that people understand that. And that's part of the reason why it's beneficial to maintain, which most bodybuilders who are natural do, maintain a consistent body weight over the year. So they don't have to drop a lot of weight to enter in a competition.
So this notion, which perhaps is old hat now, of bulking up and then quickly reducing, is been sort of thrown by the wayside. Now we want to stay hard throughout the year, focus on health, and then slowly taper down with precision towards that day that we've selected, which is the competition date.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it's a notion that's out there about bulking up. I think it's still done. It's not, in my mind, a healthy way to run a healthy lifestyle. Keeping your body fat down is part of being healthy and something that I would definitely advocate for anybody.
Now, tell us about the competitive calendar that INBA Canada has and that you've planned for this year.
Sure, Corey. This year we're running two Canadian competitions. We're covering the East and the West. So we'll have the Western Team Canada Naturals in Sherwood Park on September the 24th, Sherwood Park, Alberta, at a theater called Festival Place. And we'll be having the Eastern Team Canada Naturals on November the 5th at a theater called the Manville Theater in St. Catharines, Ontario. And both those events will then qualify top-placing competitors to become part of Team Canada. We'll get them a Team Canada tracksuit, and we'll go down to the Natural Olympia and see how Canada does at that event, which will be on November the 19th in Las Vegas, the Natural Olympia.
Outstanding. Sounds excellent, Ivan. How can our listeners get more information about INBA Canada?
Yeah, Corey. With regards to contacting us, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can do that via email, and our email is on our website. Our website is www.naturalbodybuildingcanada.com. That's naturalbodybuildingcanada.com. And you can reach us by phone anytime, 780-464-5690. That's a number in Alberta. I live in Sherwood Park.
Excellent. Ivan, our time is gone, and thanks very much for participating as our special expert guest on this month's edition of SNU. It's been excellent, very, very informative, and I hope everybody out there has a new take on natural bodybuilding to understand the significance of what it is that Ivan and INBA Canada and all of us who are supportive of natural bodybuilding are trying to create. Well, before you go, would you like to share a final word for our subscribers? We always get a little bit of a inspirational, motivational gift from each of our special expert guests.
Sure, Corey, I'd appreciate that. Corey, I'd really like to encourage anybody who has an interest in their health and enjoys lifting weights to take on the challenge of a bodybuilding competition. It's a great goal-setting tool that can bring new life to stale workouts. It can be used as a motivator to get you off the couch and improve the way you look and feel about yourself. Corey, I often speak to people, and they'll say that their physique isn't ready or perfect yet for a competition. I say a bodybuilding competition is similar to running a marathon. You don't need to take first place to run the race. I believe that the sport of natural bodybuilding isn't as much about winning as it is about stepping on the stage, knowing that you're in the best shape of your life, and feeling the exhilaration of achieving your personal best. And Corey, that's what it's all about.
Ivan Strickwerda, president of INBA Canada, a leader in growing the sport of natural bodybuilding. Thanks very much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent a lifestyle, new way of life. Listen. it's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.